I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Pat.
Shoot.
Here.
Brundage.
Here.
McNaughton.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Newton.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Move on to the consent agenda, because everyone's here. Move on to the approval of minutes from September 16th, 2019.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second. Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay. I wanted to say to strike the good of the order, bullet one, second to last line. Quote, we also need to look at the fact that available housing units are being brought up for vacation rentals, and it is difficult for young families to purchase homes. That is not factual nor supported in our fact finding.
Well, that wasn't the point. It was a quote from a person, so it's okay. Not whether or not it was accurate. It's an accurate representation of what was said.
Gotcha.
Okay. Appreciate that. Okay, let's move on to hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. All right. Reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. John?
The City Commission is developing a working group to research the marijuana issue, given the training that has been going throughout the summer with the MSU Extension. I think there's one final installment this last Thursday of the month, and that will kind of be a good overview of the rules, and because a representative from LARA is going to be speaking. So if anyone's interested in that, they're encouraged to come. But the commission would like representation from this board. So if there's any volunteers that would like to serve on that, we don't have any dates yet, but just let me know. If you want to think about it, just let Pat know, and then we'll get you on that list and inform the appropriate meetings are held.
Okay. You said there's one at the end of this month?
Yeah, they're on the last Thursday of the month at 3 to 4:30. And it's a webinar, and we show right up on their internet screen. And it's pretty good. And I spoke with Mary Riley, the MSU Extension, and she indicated that it's probably evolved, and this one's probably the one that you really want to pay attention to, because it's going to be the update of the latest rules and those implications.
Thank you, Scott. Move on to unfinished business. There is none. New business, development plan review for 1245 M75.
Yes, Jervis Webb, has submitted an application for site plan review for a proposed expansion of their building. They're looking at adding two additions, one in the front for a restroom break room area, and then one more on the back for an oven. These are going to be similar in design and character with existing there. This is being done to facilitate the production process and provide some additional room for their employees. We reviewed it in staff. We didn't see any issues with it. And in regards to setbacks, building elevations, parking, we didn't see any issues there. The LDFA EDC board did a cursory review of it, even though it's not in the industrial park proper. They were very supportive of the plan as well. Representatives are here to maybe go over more detail what they're planning. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer.
Okay.
All
right.
Jay Longman and Bart Longman with Colwell Longman Construction, and Gary and Jeff with the Jervis Webb. And Scott, you hit it pretty good. Two additions. One's an oven for their powder coating system. This is actually the restroom. It's the second addition, restroom / break room. And we'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
small addition onto the front of the building. There's a small block enclosure that's shown on here. So is the new addition going to be block or metal siding?
The metal building. Okay. Well, pretty similar to the
floor over there. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Larry. And one other question. You have proposed retention. Are those retention basins for parking or for lawn or?
Scott, do you mind putting the site plan real quick? So that proposed retention is in the southwest corner of the site,
right.
And that's for the additional hard surface that we're putting on the whole site, and it's the roof runoff.
Okay. Okay. And that will be done as a part of this?
Correct.
With the powder coating oven, is this going to be any different or more hazardous material made from this compared to what we would be doing before?
You guys mentioned this, but they have no others.
We switched from a paint system, which has VOCs, which is controlled by the state DEQ, which are VOCs volatiles. We've taken that down to where we're no longer required to file, but we have to maintain records. Our powder coat system right now is an antiquated system. The speed is running about 3 feet a minute. The rest of my craft is running at 15. So we really are not going to be using any more powder than what we currently are.
Okay.
We're trying to increase the speed and productivity. If we were to increase, powder is non-toxic. We can put our scrap or whatever right into the waste to be moved up by waste management. We're tested on that yearly. There's no issues with that.
Okay.
Structure with flat roof, add approximately 8,000 square foot to the structure. The proposed additions will match the style and architecture of the existing building. You said materials as well?
Correct. Close as you can. Yeah.
Any additions to that?
Just the units for the number.
Just the units, exactly. Yeah. Preservation of significant natural features, there are none. Streets, not applicable. Access driveways, circulation. Existing access drives will be used. The development in the future access drive located near the east lot line is anticipated. Are you guys going to be doing construction, like getting ready for that eventually, or is it just, it's just there for future need?
Future need.
Any questions on that? Okay. Emergency vehicle access, the site accessibility has been reviewed by the BCPD Fire Department, Ambulance Department. Necessary access for emergency vehicles is provided. Sidewalks, pedestrian, and bike. Bicycle circulation, sidewalk located in the right-of-way in front of the east half of the parcel. Pedestrians crossing is located at middle of parcel to west side of the Beardsley intersection. So there's our existing sidewalk and nothing's going to really change on that. Any other additions? Or barrier-free access, site has existing barrier-free access. Parking. The site meets ordinance requirements for parking number and layout. The proposed addition to not add parking demand.
Anticipated.
Anticipated.
Not anticipated to add parking.
Thank you. So it's not going to change. Okay. Loading. Existing loading and dumpster areas will not be changed. All right. Landscaping, screening, and open space. The addition. On the north side will require the removal of a mature spruce tree. No other changes to the landscape proposed. Any additions or questions? Okay. Soil erosion control. Soil erosion permit must be obtained if required. Would one be required for this or not?
That would be a determination of the county.
Okay.
They look at the amount of earth disruption and determine whether or not it's required.
All right. Stormwater management. Site has on-site stormwater detention with drainage calculations with proposed retention provided. Any other questions, Bob? Lighting. No changes to exterior lighting shown on the plan. Noise. Proposed use is not anticipated to create any noise exceeding what is expected in the district. Okay. Mechanical equipment. No exterior mechanical equipment proposed. Signs. No changes to existing signage proposed. Hazardous materials or waste. Facility must comply with all industrial waste disposal requirements. Other title of other agency reviews, all other required permits must be obtained. The approval process. All right. So these are the findings of fact on this proposed site development. Any questions? So now we would need either a motion to approve the findings of fact. Yeah.
I'll move to approve the findings of fact that the notification of that is some nomenclature for the measurements.
For the feet?
Yes.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Ross?
Yes.
Shute?
Yes.
Krundyk?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
One thing on the proposed drive to the east there, I believe they put this on here in anticipation of being able to have an administrative review when, if this comes forward in the future. So just to clarify with the planning commission that that's okay. Of course, they would need a permit from MDOT.
From MDOT, right. Exactly. So I have no issues with that.
All right.
Do you need a motion for that?
No, just clarification to make sure.
Clarification that it could be handled administratively.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Super.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Let's move on to new business B, public hearing proposed ordinance amendments to reduce housing barriers. Scott?
Yes.
This
is the public hearing.
The public hearing was put in the newspaper, is that correct?
Yes, it was advertised in the News Review as a summation and the ordinance effect that affected sections.
As part of the minutes, can we include a copy of that in the record?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Scott?
So as you may recall in our earlier discussions, the Planning Commission was charged with reviewing the ordinance and identifying potential housing barriers that could be eliminated from the ordinance. And a number of them were identified. We proposed changes to the definitions, specifically language to the dwelling of a manufactured home and modular home and mobile home. And those were more done to eliminate redundancy and kind of get some clarity and eliminate some antiquated language. Then we looked at amendments to Article 4. That is the existing residential district. There, we looked at incorporating accessory dwelling units and duplex units as uses by right as opposed to special uses. And also including multi-family units up to 4 units as a special use in that district. And we looked at the manufacturer, and I believe we also had the rural estate district. I thought we had similar language, but I did not put it in this text. So we have to go back and look at that. The manufactured housing park, we had a number of amendments there proposed to clarify the language, get rid of the term mobile home and replace it with manufactured home. We looked at changing the density from 5,500 square feet per unit to 10 units per acre. And that's consistent with what's there right now. We looked at changing the open space requirement to a contiguous 25,000 square foot space to just a 25,000 foot space and eliminate that active recreation component of it. In the Central Business District, we looked at the setbacks for apartment buildings and eliminated those to be able to bring those buildings up to the street line, similar to all other structures in that district. So we have a conforming kind of look, regardless of the use of the buildings. And then also we looked at changing the mixed use and incorporating the residential component into the first floor that was not accessed off of the street. And in the transitional residential district, there was similar ordinance amendments because those two sections that mirror each other in those regards. So basically just carry those over to the traditional commercial district as well. So those are the amendments as advertised and reviewed and recommended. So now it comes to you for public hearing and your consideration to recommend to the city commission.
I'm going to open this to the public first. Any comments or questions about any of the proposed changes? All right. I'll close it to the public and to the board. Any question?
I went to the Michigan Association of Planning Conference about 2 weeks ago, and a lot of the things that we're doing here were kind of talked about in a lot of the different sessions. And actually there was a term that they were using, it was called gentle density, and how to incorporate a little higher density into the residential districts. And you know, we're fitting right into that. Actually we're ahead of the curve in a lot of the other communities around the state. So it was encouraging to see that.
Very cool. Scott, you had mentioned that the rural district, I know we had talked about accessory buildings in there.
Yes.
And allowing duplexes as well.
Right.
Is that what just wasn't part of this?
I may have eliminated that out of my memo. I do believe it was in the public notice, so I'll have to go back and review that.
Okay.
If not, we may have to come back and change it at a future date.
Okay. Larry, did you have a question?
No, I was just trying to remember, you know. I'm over 60, so I can't remember everything. But you know, of the previous meetings, whether the real estate district we decided to take it out or whether we wanted to.
No, we wanted to include it actually.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, I think actually you had suggested it because it made way more sense,
right,
in the rural district to be adding more density in a place that.
Yeah, and the minutes do reflect that discussion.
Do we want to do it at this time, or are you saying just at a later time we can do that?
Well, I'll have to go back and make sure the publication was properly done for that specific section. If not, we'll have to come back to it and do that separately. If so, we can move forward.
How would we move forward? It
would be a recommendation to the City Commission to consider the proposed amendments for first reading.
I'll make a motion to recommend to the commission to review these for first reading.
Got a motion?
Second.
Got a motion and second? Roll call, Pat?
Shute?
Yes.
Grundig?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Move around.
We'll take this to the City Commission at your next available agenda. It's not tomorrow.
Okay. All right, let's move on to C, zoning map correction recommendation.
Yes, something came to my attention from a phone call about 2 weeks ago from an appraiser that saying that, hey, this parcel is zoned commercial and industrial. No, that's residential. Been that way for a long time. No, you need to look at your map. So I looked at it a little closer and he was right. And I said, hey, but that's not the way I ever thought that parcel was. And so I started looking into it a little deeper and I started reviewing the older zoning map. So this is from 1979, this map here, and this is the area. You can see all that was zoned R1, which was a low density residential area at that time. And then in the 80s, or this map was adopted in 1989, so it was basically the map through the 90s. And you can see they kind of reconfigured this as the commercial and industrial area here, and this is the low-density residential. You see that little foot there that's in the area where these parcels were. So it looked like me, the intention was to have that as residential, because a lot of the 2000 map, basically primarily the 2000 map, just changed all those district lines. It gave them different nomenclature. It renamed them and gave them features to them, but it's still the lines were basically the same. So that would have been a pretty significant change there. So then it comes to, you know, this is the current zoning map, and these are those parcels there. You can see that similar little foot of that district right there where these two are. Now, when you look closer at the parcels, it really didn't make sense for them to be commercial industrial. They're on top of a hill. One has a house on it, had a house on it since 1994, I believe. The other has always been vacant, but always assessed and taxed as residential. And to get to these parcels is by a private road that has 14% grades or more in certain spots. So to use those for any realistic commercial application is almost impossible. You probably have to remove the hill and, you know, get it that way. And I don't think that's got any intention here. So the ordinance does give the ability to change these where we believe there was an error in the map. And it goes through the Planning Commission for review and recommendation, and it goes to the Zoning Board of Appeals, and that's their quasi-judicial function to interpret the map, and they can make this correction based on, you know, recommendation from the folks. So it seemed to me the appropriate way to go with this, and bring it to you for your consideration.
I guess I'll open it to the public if you have any questions about that. That's fine. I'll close and bring it to the board. Any questions about this piece of property? So you said that there's been a house on there for a while.
Yes. There's two parcels there. The house has been there. Yeah, I think it's been sold once. It's been assessed, you know, as residential ever since they were created.
So this would bring it into conformity?
Yes, it. It would.
Yeah. Any questions or?
That, is that Ron Crozier's house?
No. It's
his is further.
Yeah, his is on the other side of the Crozier Crest Road.
Yeah, these people are, I think, out of state. Yeah.
Okay, but you still go up?
Yeah, you go
his,
up
Crozier his road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was looking for that one this evening. Is that contract or road?
Yes.
No, it's hard. It goes behind the, what's that?
Challenge Mountain?
Challenge Mountain. Yeah, oh, okay. It goes past there and up the hill.
Contractor Road's lower.
Yeah, Contractor Road's farther back to the west.
Okay.
And I know Randy, I don't think Randy does any more excavating back there. Do it around the river?
No, I don't think he can.
Yeah.
Private roads back in. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, I see. Right there is where the road comes up.
Oh.
Right past the jump.
Between Challenge Mountain.
Now, that is part of the easement, too, to get to those properties, right?
That's right.
Well, it's a private road, so all those folks have an agreement amongst themselves to use and maintain that road.
Gotcha.
Questions or recommendations?
Your order, Ron.
And you can make a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals on this.
Yep, because they're quasi-judicial.
Quasi-judicial, they are, one of their responsibilities is map interpretation.
Yep.
I'll make a motion to pass this on to the Board of Appeals to make a determination to correct.
Second that. Motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Grundeid?
Yes.
Okay. I'll go to them in November. On the November meeting. Perfect. Go on to staff report.
The City Commission is scheduling a joint meeting on November 19th at 7 p.m. With the Recreation Commission and the Planning Commission to discuss trail routing potential along Michigan to connect the existing trail to the west, through to at least Michigan here, because that's kind of been a challenge to figure out where the best place to put that is. The city is in the midst of looking at a construction project on Michigan, and part of that design, the engineers are looking at possible trail routes. So Larry Fox will be at the meeting to review that, and the city commission would like participation from this commission and the rec commission to get input on design of that potential trail connector. So I don't know if we have to schedule a meeting, but because they're kind of scheduling the meeting, but if you want to schedule a meeting for that time today, that's fine.
Now, this would be to connect the bike trail to...
It's connected where it ends right here where it comes into town.
Right.
When you said Charlotte Road. And then bring it in through town, at least past the corner there.
Yeah.
Because that is really the pinch point that we've been having a lot of difficulty figuring out where that can go.
I feel bad for people because there's no way, there's nowhere to go.
I know. That's a struggle, because it's easy been done. So it's not.
Right.
We direct them out down Bay Street and
Lower Lake.
And they can get there, but it's definitely a need to get there. You see so many families coming into town from the state park on their bikes.
Right.
With all the little kids behind mom and dad. And the good news is it's only 35 to 25 miles per hour, but it would surely be nice to have a bike path continuous.
Having the sidewalk on the north side and no sidewalk on the south side, you did get kids crossing, and that's kind of something that we want to avoid.
So what time is the meeting?
7 o'clock.
Okay. Here in the chambers.
What's that?
Here.
Yes, I'm here.
You said November 19th, correct?
Yes.
Yes. When are they going to connect the trails?
Well, it's all part of the plan.
Oh, God, that's all right.
As fast as we can, but it takes time and money and planning.
Okay, so November 19th is a Tuesday?
Yes. Is there a regular city commission meeting day, right? Or is that?
November 18th.
Yes.
It's our day.
Fall.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a good one we've done on the White Falls Trail?
Yes, yes. They've got it mostly cleared. A lot of sub-base put down. They poured the sidewalk portion of Boyne Falls. They did that last Friday. And they've got a lot of gravel in over by where they need to put in the boardwalk section at the end of the airport at Boyne Mountains. I believe they anticipate putting that boardwalk in. Hopefully it's a little small yet, but it'll probably depend on what and that kind of thing.
Are we going to tie the Boyne Falls School in?
Yes, they were a partner in this as well, and they were more happy to see it go through, and it'd be very accommodating to use their property. So
Boyne's going to have to clean up their property, out where it goes in the back, where their laundry is.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it cuts across the board.
Well, it kind of comes back. Okay. I think they bring it through the woods a little bit.
Gotcha.
So we're very excited about that. Had the ribbon cutting and anticipated completion on June 11th. And it looks like it will probably be done on time and hopefully on budget. Less than we did work with the engineers, and they were able to eliminate 30 feet of boardwalk that reduced the cost by $30,000. Boyne Mountain has been a great partner. They're going to do the signage throughout their facility. That's about a $5,000 savings. And then they've also contributed another $20,000 to the project. So we're making that big gap much, much smaller. So hopefully we can continue to do that.
It's been a very, very neat trail.
Oh, I took the opportunity to walk it last week. And it's some of the areas along are just gorgeous this time of year. It was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And this is another benefit of being RC certified. The MEDC contracted with some freelance photographers to come up and take pictures. And then they're going to share these with us. They're going to be kind of professionally done, and we can incorporate into our marketing packages and things like that. And they were up here on Saturday, which was just an absolute perfect day. So we got a lot of, got us, you know, farmers market, downtown, pictures, colors, so it was a great day. So excited to see those when they get those to us. I'm not sure when that will happen, but that will sure.
All right. National Ethics.
Go to the order.
I have a question about the parking study. So, or the parking is part of the talk about before. So, will that be a public hearing about that?
Once we hammer out what amendments are to be made, okay. We have to bring that back to the city commission. But I believe we want to have a little more public discourse on exactly what changes to be made. But I haven't got an opportunity to kind of get that done yet.
Okay. But we're moving forward.
Yeah, yes, that's the next amendment that I hope to make. Yes.
I got a couple of things. First of all, I attended that training session.
Yeah, and everyone who did attend that, please let Pat know. We keep a log for that for our training.
Since we're all here,
yeah.
Larry was here, Rose came, I came, Jeff, and Skylar came.
That's where I got a little trigger happy on our day today, as I was like thinking about that class and like eliminating Absolutely. Risk with truth and, you know, fact finding on our
own. Yeah, there are a couple of things I'd like to, there's a couple of things I'd like to share with everybody about that, but go ahead, Larry. One of the things that was suggested is that to manage risk, one of the things is that having an email address that's specifically for the Planning Commission rather than using a personal email address. That makes it so that way, if for some reason we get into a situation where they have to look into that for the Freedom of Information mm-hmm. Act, they would basically be looking into everything. All of your emails, all of your computer, all your everything. And just to manage that type of thing, it would be very advisable to just make an email account that's separate from your personal, that is just a Planning Commission email account.
Twice as much junk mail.
What?
Twice as much.
And then the other thing was really, really paying attention to whenever you talk about anything about the Planning Commission outside of these chambers, be very mindful of it because it is something that can easily be brought back on us. And so if before a session or anything like that, if you have questions, really kind of save it for the session. Obviously, you can call and ask Scott. But things like that were just really, I thought, really smart, and just being mindful of that. Those are two immediate things that I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, I probably need to go back and review the notes. It was quite a bit of information all at once, so it's one of those things you have to almost go back and review the notes.
Right,
a few times afterwards, just to have it all saying, but that separate email account, that was an interesting, good recommendation. Absolutely. One, though, how many people have started that yet?
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
Neither have
I. I did that 8 years ago, and unfortunately, over 8 years, my personal and my professional accounts have kind of blended.
Sure.
And, you know, that's why I didn't want them to, but generally, things start coming in from every direction.
It's difficult to change email addresses for various people and only select people and remember to give those out.
I think the only thing we heard collectively was a lot of communities, the township, or in our case the city, provided very generic, like planning PC1, Planning Commission 1, Planning Commission 2, mm-hmm. at Boeing email addresses, mm-hmm. which just protected us. Mm-hmm. You know, that way they only. Obviously, your email servers wouldn't have to be emailing to do that anything. Yeah.
Could we get some accounts then with a Boeing domain?
Well, that'd be something we would have to bring up, I think, with Scott, to see if he can talk to the city about it.
Yeah, I can bring that up and see.
It was one of the biggest, the Freedom of Information Act was a big one you brought up that gets a lot of people in trouble. Because what ends up happening, I mean, I don't know how bad a situation we'd be here in Point City.
Trust me.
But well, I guess you handle all the Freedom of Information stuff, so you know about it. But I'm assuming larger communities probably deal with it a lot more. You know, when they're dealing with huge commercial contractors and stuff, but still,
yeah,
it was something that he stressed a lot.
Yeah, it's a good thing to, you know, be cognizant of when you're making any kind of written or spoken or any kind of communication, that everything you say as a public official is voidable. So, you know, you need to be careful about that and make sure you keep good records. Yeah.
And then the other thing that was brought up to help keep the, a couple of things, but to help keep the meetings very professional and to keep members of the community keeping it all together, is everything needs to go through the chair.
Yes.
All questions need to be asked, all from the board need to be asked to me, and then I present out, and they need to ask questions to me, and then I present it back to you. So that way there's no communication, everything flows in that direction, makes it a little easier. We're okay, but there are times we're very lax. And so we just need to kind of think about that when we're doing it. And I think the other thing was,
I guess in practicing some of that, even like this evening when we have direct questions for you, Scott, need to be more formal. We should be asking those to you to present, or when we're...
No, that's a little different.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the same thing that if we were to have a lawyer here, we would be able to ask the questions directly to him.
Okay.
Generally, if you want to ask a question of someone in the public, you would go to the chair.
Right. Okay. The other thing was is that because we're we are recommended to the board by the city commission, we don't have the same, I don't want to say the same power, we don't have judicial power. So when we make a ruling that we don't agree with something, a fact finding or whatever, we have to be as specific as possible as to why. Mm-hmm. Not just we don't enjoy this idea or whatever. It has to be very specific to why, because that's going to be in the notes, that's going to be very well explained, and then it'll be able to be brought back and understood. Whereas if you're voted in, it's a little bit different. You have a little bit more of a, I didn't understand that completely, but just a general practice, it's better just to explain why.
Yeah.
Things are going forward now.
Basically, you're obligated by the conditions of the ordinance, and if there are standards that you believe are not met, you need to articulate why those are not met.
Right.
So that's a little different in legislative policy decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, basically, they're making policy for whatever the reason they think is good. They don't have to articulate that. They're not basing it based on some kind of ordinance standard. They're saying this is what needs to be done for the community, and they can just
right.
say yes. So that's kind of the difference there. But and that's kind of why we do the findings of fact and provide you with all those specific ordinance sections, and then you can review those and see how they're met, how they're not met. That's why you say met, not met with conditions, and
right.
then articulate why.
I think another thing that I gleaned out of that first training seminar, again, as a new planning commissioner, was that not all planning directors submit those findings of fact to the members on the commission.
Oh, yeah.
So that the fact that we get that is, you know, just that added work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated learning that and doing that extra effort for us to get through these meetings.
And one of the things that they highly suggested, which I thought was kind of strange, was that make site plan review more administrative and less to do with the board,
mm-hmm.
especially with projects that everything is met.
Right.
So, for example, the Defuku web, is that something that could have been handled administratively and not?
It depends on your ordinance. Some
and I know, I didn't mind it. I like being involved in what's
yeah.
going on, and we're not hugely backed up with those. But it was just a thought that was brought up.
Yeah. When I worked at Garfield Township, that would have been something I would have approved on my desk.
Got it.
go through the line of that line by line too, or is that?
Personal preference.
That's the preference. You could say, you know, we adopt it as a whole.
Yes.
I like it. It's how we like to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, especially after going to the session this week and really talking about it, it really comes down to the more information that's put within minutes and that's public record is very important, because then there's no guess.
Well, it helps the people around there. There are people out there too.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it helps me understand more as a newer commissioner what's in the ordinance for each district as well. And if there's ever any question of approval versus disapproval, it takes away some of the capricious feelings of it. Yeah, no. Oh, I just don't like the sign.
Well, another, you need to make that connection. And also, if you're ever making conditions, saying,
right,
this will condition can be met if you do this,
right,
then you have to tie it together. Okay, you don't meet this condition because of Y, so we're going to make you do this because it accomplishes X. You just can't say, well, we're going to do it just because of like it. You have to have a nexus there.
Absolutely.
The condition and the rationale for it.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it was a good meeting.
Yeah, that was a great meeting.
Another benefit of RRC.
Absolutely.
The lady that was helping hold that too had mentioned they were going to try and do it.
Now, did you guys get like a presentation?
Yeah.
If you could get a copy to me and then I can share that with the other commissioners.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a clean copy.
Oh, that's...
Mine's covered in notes.
Okay. Did they make them available on the website?
I thought so. The person that was presenting was from Petoskey. He was at...
I bring mine in tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't have scribbles on mine.
Right.
Yeah, I think his name is on there because he's from the planning firm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Petoskey, yeah.
He was asking
what firm? Mm-hmm. Is it Figurator?
Yeah.
Ike and Jelly?
What's that?
Mr. Ike and Jelly?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But I was just saying, like, maybe we'll contact them in the right.
Okay.
Send them along as well. That only helps them, right?
I have some things under the orders. Number one, I've been recruiting, as I'm sure all you have, trying to fill our seats to no avail. With that being said, I've been approached by people that live in, not within the city limits, but adjoining townships who question, you know, their passion, their interests, their commitment to the city, that they see that they would be a very good member of the commission. But our ordinance, I thought it was our charter, and we have an ordinance that says no, you do need to be inside the city limits.
Right.
I just wanted to bring that up. And I pass that information on to staff and my fellow city commissioners. And, you know, I understand that, especially we in the past years, Mark Kowalski, when he moved out of town, even though he owns a business in town, had to leave the planning commission. Todd Wright did the same thing, Jack McCloud did the same thing. We've had good people that once they moved out of town, even though they own a business in town. And that's their argument. They want to say, hey, this is our town too. We would love to be part of the decision.
They may not be residents, but they are property owners.
Yes. My argument is, well, but the counter argument is I don't really want township people making decisions for the city. I think it goes two ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just for your information.
Okay. Yeah, the Planning Act did amend itself a few years ago to allow outside membership in a limited fashion. I think you can have maybe one non-resident on the Planning Commission. I have to go check.
That is.
Yeah.
That was the 2008 reasons.
Right.
So in order for us to adopt that...
You have to amend your ordinance first. Because
then the ordinance would be a long process.
Yeah.
But it could be done because of that ruling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's enabling the action of 2008.
The state does enable that to happen. So if you wanted to, you could.
restriction on that. Even my mom talked about it. I mean, she'd like to do the end wards, you know, when she's got time, but she can't because she lives a mile out of town.
Wouldn't it be better, though, to encourage them to be involved with their township boards? And then they have a passion for it?
Right. Yeah. Sure. And there's other volunteer groups, there's service groups, there's certain ways they can serve the community. With that being said, we're not alone in the planning commission, because you also have the Parks and Rec Commission, with people being very active with recreational activities that live in the mountains. You also have the airport board, getting pilots that live in the mountains, and they want to be on the airport board. So it would be more encompassing than just us if we explored it. So again, I told staff, and it's kind of in their hands.
Okay.
Another recommendation or a suggestion is, do we have any topic or any conversation on recognizing the service for Joe and
George?
I did put an acknowledgement in the newsletter, and, you know, thanking them for their service, but I didn't have to maybe get a certificate or something.
Joe was on there long 29 years, and George too. It would be cool if we could honor them with a certificate of recognition, but
okay,
maybe bring that up with Mike.
I'd like to see if we can come to one more meeting.
photo op, and then go home.
Yeah.
And my third topic is the 6th annual Charlotte County Planners Forum on October 30th. Mm-hmm. Join us for Hot Topics of Charlotte County, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Networks Northwest. Becca Brader will discuss short-term rental agreements, lake levels, and the recreational planning process. It's free. It's in Charlotte from 4 till, where is it here?
I'll work to go to that so bad. I'm going to be working at downstate. I'm not even going home until 1 in the morning.
4:30 to 8:30. And last year, I thought it was excellent.
It sounds like a great meeting. I wanted to go, but I'm not being gone.
When did you say that was?
30th. Wednesday, October 30th.
That looked like a spectacular meeting.
Did all of you get that?
Yes.
I got an email on that.
I didn't get that.
Okay.
Can we get the email now, or was that?
Take a look. I can send it to you, but you can get it from staff, too.
Okay.
Yeah, if you could forward that on.
Forward that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
We had quite a few go last year. That was good.
Yeah.
Well, Lake Level's going to be a huge one.
Yeah. I was at the library, and they have dinner, so it's nice.
Yeah, free dinner.
Yeah, up there.
I would like one more item, and I'm good of orders.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up the standard item I brought last time, short-term rental ordinance.
Okay.
I still think it is needed for the city. After our discussion last month, I did a little bit of research to find out that Petoskey has an ordinance that they use for bed and breakfast as well. City of Charlevoix has an ordinance. I think they had a brief moratorium on short-term rentals once they got to a certain number.
That's not really an ordinance, it's more of a registration.
Registration, that's just a registration.
There's no requirements tied to it. They basically have to put the name on the list.
So, I mean, in other words, you just basically know how many there are. And I think Hayes Township.
No, I don't know about that, but it gives you contact for information for the ones that register.
Yeah. Right. So, okay, I did a little bit of research online, and I don't know if this is okay if I pass out a list that I have, part of public record. These are all part of public record anyhow.
Right.
I went on, let's see, one website, I forget the name of it, vacationrental.com, that included Airbnb as well as VRBO. And I was very surprised to find out that the majority of the short-term rentals are less than 2,000 square feet.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I gave you I didn't want to.
Oh.
Matter of fact, there's numerous of them there, 1,200 or 1,300 square feet and less. So, you know, I look back here and increase housing availability, and we recommended adoption of an ordinance to increase density and increase housing availability, and I think it's kind of odd that this is just blossoming right here. And you talk about being ahead of the curve with relative to other cities. This is something that I think we should look into. You know, you said when you talk that this is maybe 30 to 40 that are in the traditional residential district that are maybe 2% of the housing stock. You know, how many are we going to get 30, 40 more houses built? And what's the proper amount? I mean, I agree 100% that these condominiums, not a problem. You know, that's, it's a higher density. They're set up potentially to be rentals. So I think that's, you know, what kind of percentage is good for theirs? You know, 20, 25, 50% of condominiums be short-term rentals? I'll leave that up to their condo associations, but, you know, it's I would be disappointed severely if the city got up to like 10% short-term rentals. And I don't think that's where we would want it.
The city commission recognized this issue and directed staff to identify what the impacts are. I have been developing an inventory, and I'll cross-reference the information that you've given to see if I got all the ones that I can find. And then this is going to be supplied to the city commission. I also would like to identify maybe some other metrics to identify what those impacts are, which are kind of difficult to really put your arm around. But to give as a complete picture as possible to the city commission, and then they can give us some direction on exactly what they would like to do. You know, there is potentially also some state legislation. I was at the Housing Summit meeting on Friday, and they had representatives from the MML and also the lobbyists for the real estate board, and they are sitting on the same table looking at something. I'm not quite sure what the form that's going to take. It's probably going to be some kind of registration process. And then with local control maintained.
Right.
But that's another aspect of this that I would like to see how that shakes out. So this definitely is on the radar of the city commission, and I do expect that some direction in the next few months here is exactly how we're going to proceed with this.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised when I went through this. There are certain little pockets of town that they're very, very much concentrated within.
Much more in the south.
Right.
And then you have to weigh. This is actually helping us because it's offering housing for our weekend guests, for
right.
every event that we have, because we don't have a hotel.
Right.
And it's a trade-off.
And it's a trade-off. And how many of these units are homesteaded already?
Well, that's,
so even though short-term rentals are an option, they still are not in that pool of available housing.
So right. I mean, there
are a lot of different factors.
Yeah, there are some that are completely understandable. The apartment, the house next door, the post office, that's easy. You know, and then there's other ones that people just want to use on weekends. Some of the ideas I gleaned from other ordinances are limits of, say, 28 to 30 days maximum, and otherwise it will be owner-occupied. For snowbirds are able to use it, you know, to generate additional income when they're gone.
Well, I think it's kind of premature to get into that discussion. I think we want to get direction, and once we get direction, then we can, you know, develop appropriate ordinance language and whatever.
Right. And one of the other items is make sure that the local contact is displayed prominently. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, to build on that comment, I did some number running as well in the last month in that regard, too. And the National Association of Realtors for 2013, the entire national inventory was such that an average of 13% of all inventory sold was for short-term and vacation rentals. So by that metric and what you stated, Scott, that we have about 100 for Boyne City and how many single-family homes we have, we're quite a bit under that average statistic. And by that rationale, I think that we're far from having an issue there. And I also, in looking at this online as well, the overwhelming demographic of the short-term vacation rentals are waterfront condos. So I think that that's also a large disparity between the last conversation of the fact that available housing units are going into vacation rentals, which makes it difficult for young families to purchase homes. The average demographic of young families purchasing homes are not, in my experience as a realtor, purchasing waterfront condos. So I want it marked on our notes here for the good of the group that we're not, you know, trying to pigeonhole what our short-term vacation rentals are in detail.
Well, I guess I would go on eliminating the discussion, but this is becoming a discussion item. It's not an agenda item. Okay. So I think we should just note that the concerns, staff has direction giving the city commission, and we'll bring it back from them with whatever direction they give.
Whatever the city commission would like us to see done. But also this
wonderful
meeting on the 30th might give some more information.
Yeah, it's on there, right?